Dear friends, in comparison to eternity, let's know that life on earth is so, so much shorter. It's hard for us to get that, to understand that, but God wants us to know that is certainly true. So when we think about our own lives, I'm guessing that we all have various hopes and dreams. But the question today is, do we have hopes and dreams for this life only? Or are our primary hopes and dreams for the life to come? Today we focus on only 8 verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, also known as the resurrection chapter. We're going to consider Jesus' resurrection, we're going to consider our own resurrection, and we're going to consider a little bit about the end of the world. First of all, coming to Jesus' resurrection, picking up here in our text, we're in verse 19, the Bible says, "If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep." What does that mean that we would be most miserable of all if we trust in Christ for this life only? Think about it like this. Trusting in Christ has 2 outcomes. In this life, what happens when we trust in Christ? The Bible is guaranteeing that persecution will come to us. When we have Christ for eternity, that's talking about eternal bliss. But if we only have him now, that would be utter foolishness. In other words, I'm going to take all this persecution, but then there is no eternity, or there is no eternal bliss. That would be foolishness. We would be miserable. But we're willing, though, to accept the persecution now because we are guaranteed in Christ the eternal bliss. Well, resurrection promised. Think about what Jesus said to his disciples over in Luke 9. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. So Jesus made that clear multiple times. So he died on Friday. That is day number 1. He rested in the tomb on Saturday. That's day number 2. And then right at sunset on Saturday, from a Jewish perspective, that begins Sunday. And Jesus, even 1 minute after sunset on Saturday, that is Sunday, and he could have been raised at that moment. We don't know the timing, but we know, though, that the 3 days that the Bible talks about, that happened. So he's in the tomb prior to Saturday. He's in the tomb all day on Saturday, and he's in the tomb at least for a short time on Sunday. All that God said has happened, and the things that are not yet fulfilled, let's be absolutely certain that every single one will be fulfilled. So we see the fulfillment of the resurrection here with what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus was raised. He said to the people, Jesus was delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. Godless men, talking about the Romans, put him to death, but God raised him up again. So God wants us to know that he makes promises and he fulfills them exactly as he has said. And then it mentioned here about Jesus being called the first fruits. So that takes us back to the Old Testament real briefly. So back in Leviticus chapter 23, God lays out the 7 festivals that the people of Israel are supposed to celebrate every year. So God tells them exactly when to do it, exactly why to do it, and so on. The first festival is Passover. The second, that Passover is 1 day. The second one is unleavened bread. That's a week. That's right back to back with Passover. And then first fruits is the 3rd festival. So first fruits is always the Sunday following the day of Passover. Do you see how this is lining up? So our Lord Jesus Christ, he was raised from the dead on the festival of first fruits. So he is the first fruit. He is risen from the dead, and that means that we are going to be raised too. He's the first one. Our resurrection is coming. So we could put it this way and say that Jesus, the ultimate first fruit, was raised on the festival of first fruits. Thinking about our own resurrection, we continue with the text here. It says, "For since by a man," talking here about Adam, "for since by a man came death, by a man," that is Jesus, "also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits on the first Easter Sunday. After that, those who are Christ's at his coming," Paul wrote. Those who are Christ's at his coming. Let's think about this for a moment. So on the topic of death, by Adam came death for everyone, Romans 5, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. So when you have two people, perfect people, sinless people, and they both fall into sin, and now they pass on that sin nature, and that passes on to every single human being. When we think about life without Jesus, that means we're going to be hopeless, we're going to be helpless, and we're going to be apart from God forever. However, though, with Jesus, that makes all the difference. With Jesus, then we're going to have many blessings now. I mentioned them already about forgiveness, life, and forever with God. But then we seem kind of the same, though, don't we? We all die, we're all buried. But I want you to know there are huge differences here. So when we are repentant, we die physically, but we go immediately to be with God. When we are unrepentant, we die physically, and we go to be apart from God. Jesus summed it up there in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, when he said, "And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." God wants us to know this is true. I mean, I'm here to tell you, I'm here to beg you, to plead with you to be open to the truth of God. Many of you have heard my own story. For so many years, actually for decades, I went to church almost every week. I was even trying to pay attention, even though I'll have to admit I kept pinching myself trying to keep from falling asleep. However, though, that was my life for a long time, but I thought I was a Christian during that time, but I found out later that I wasn't. What made the difference, though? What made the difference is getting into the Bible. So even though I went to church week after week after week, I never opened the Bible. I never read it. I never thought about it. I never memorized any Bible verses. But once I got into the Bible, what that does is that activates the Holy Spirit. So when we're in the Word of God, now the Spirit of God, the third person of the Holy Trinity, is working through the Word of God, working in our mind to show us what it means, working in our hearts to call us to be sorry for our sins, and working in our hearts to enable us to stop trusting in ourselves, in our own goodness, to know that we are helpless, and by the grace of God, to trust in Christ alone. And when God does that, everything is different. Does that mean that we're still going to die? Yes, we are. Does that mean we still fall into sin sometimes? Yes, we do. But we are forgiven. We are the children of God. We know that when we die, God's going to take us home to heaven, all because of Jesus Christ. Well, when we think about the day of resurrection it mentioned in the text there, it does talk about the two comings of Christ. So he came once, put on flesh, did his saving work. He's going to come again, and he's going to raise everyone from their graves. But notice the difference here. Jesus said here in John 5, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth." But notice the difference here. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Now, this is hard to understand, but let me try to explain it briefly. Like all of us would say, well, hey, I've done good stuff. I'm okay. But we have to understand what good means according to the Word of God. Nobody can do a good deed and save himself. Think about what it says here in Romans 3. It says, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. So no matter what we do, no matter what our position is, that cannot save us. But what about these good works, though? The Bible makes it clear over in Hebrews 11. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. What I'm trying to say here, it is from the gift of faith that God gives us by which we are trusting in Jesus. It is only from that faith that we can now do good that will count in the sight of God. Now, I've kind of touched on a difficult part of Scripture here in a sense. You know, we always talk about how we're saved by faith alone, and that is true. But what the Bible is teaching, though, is when we have that faith alone, there will be evidence of that faith. What is the evidence? The evidence is our works. So in other words, having that gift of faith, that brings about a total change inside of us, and now we are speaking different. Now we are living different. That's evidence that God has worked this change within us. Does God bring us into heaven because we did these good things or said these good things? No, he brings us into heaven because we know Jesus, the end of the world. So the text finishes up like this. Then comes the end when Christ hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. So Jesus made it clear that he's reigning now. He said there right at the end of Matthew, the last chapter, almost right at the end of Matthew, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Let's understand that there are very much a growing number of Christians who would say that Jesus is not reigning now, but they believe in this secret rapture. They believe in the 7 years of tribulation, and they believe that Christ is going to come and he's going to reign on earth then for 1,000 years. I think it's clear in the Bible that those things are not true. It is clear in the Bible he is reigning now, and when he comes, that will be the end of the world. We're going to go into this whole topic in Bible class starting next weekend, 3 o'clock on Saturday, 10:30 on Sunday. We'll probably be looking at that topic for a number of weeks. I hope you come and find out more. So thinking here about the last enemy, when we think about oil and water, it does not mix. Have you ever tried it? I know I did it with the kids over here at one point. Boy, it completely separates. It does not mix. What else does God want us to know? Sin and a holy God, they do not mix. So what happens? Death comes because of sin. No matter how good we are, we can't stand before God in our sin. I can't, you can't, nobody can. Well, coming back to the topic then of our eternal hopes and dreams. Eternal hopes and dreams, they are going to come true for everyone who knows Jesus. I want all of us to have these eternal hopes and dreams, and I want us to have them now, be excited about them now, and know, hey, they're going to come true in our Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, for people who know Jesus, what do? we live moment by moment with peace and with purpose. Isn't that kind of the opposite of the world? You know, they're anxious, they're confused, but to have peace and to live with purpose, these are wonderful ways to go through this life. And then for all such people, what are they going to do finally? They're going to forever enjoy God's eternal blessings. May God grant such things to every single one of us. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you turned our gloom into hope and joy. Thank you so much for your finished work and your current reign. Help us to live for you, and help us also to focus our hopes and our dreams on eternity. In your holy name we pray. Amen.